roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, STAB's team of comedy scientists commissioned four specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called STAB.
And we're back. Hello. Welcome back to STAB Appreciation Month. I forget what it's called. It's not important. STAB Awareness Month. That's what it's called. And what we're doing, we are bringing you another best of for your listening pleasure. You can listen to it wherever you want. What we've got going is our best of This Was Today Once, which includes Edgar Granados, Tyler Kinney, JoJo Lewis, Tavi Watkins, Evan Nayarati. Bill Wallace, Jacqueline Wyand, Josh Kincaid, Rhoda Ramon, John Gamora, and Jesse Jones. Starting this episode off, we've got Edgar Granados. But before we start this off, I just want to let you know, Edgar Granados, if you like this from him, you'll like him this Wednesday, October 19th, at Luna's Cafe, as he will be a part of a live STAB recording. So come out and check that out if you like it. If you don't like it, there's other people to like on the show as well. All right, here it is, the best of This Was Today Once. Oh, I'm John Ross, the host, by the way. So, just listen. Okay, bye. Edgar Granados. Today is the joyous occasion. Is a joyous occasion. I can't read. As it's my favorite steroid-using baseball player's birthday, and his brother, twin brother Ozzy Canseco and Jose Canseco, today is their birthday. They were born in 1964. What sort of bash did you throw for these brothers?
This is written in the style of gonzo journalism. The Cansecos are taut. Their skin stretches over unnatural muscles like fake skin over a ham hock. They stand on a platform, symbols of an achieved American dream. The room is dark, and the tension is palpable. Everything is set for the explosive celebration. Everything will be high speed. Everything will be now. Forget the whores. They'll be there, of course. The real fun comes in the form of party favors, a cavalcade of drugs to enhance any party's performance. All of it, a massive tribute to the drug culture that is irrevocably attached to the American baseball tradition. Acid to pitch a perfect no-hitter like Doc Ellis. Cocaine in memoriam of the 1980s New York Yankees. Uppers to combat the whiskey, rum, tequila, vodka, and downers to combat the uppers. Nothing with needles. Wouldn't want to scare the Cansecos. Like most drug users that bequeath themselves with a higher authority, the game must be played slyly. Try not to insult these men. They're American heroes. No doubt they recoil at the title junkie and most likely attack over such an accusation, meanwhile throbbing in anticipation of their next injection, their next workout where they can achieve maximum pump like the heels on all the strippers. The only way to distinguish them from the cocktail waitresses, seeing as everyone's naked, a feast of flesh worthy of any American hero. The lights are activated. A huge, blinding flash goes off, rocking the twins and disorienting their charisma. Suddenly, the room is flooded with supermodels, politicos, activists, liquefactionists, and pop stars. Teammates approach with congratulations, spewing adoration. You were brave enough to take the plunge. He stumbles over a gold-painted cocktail waitress and breaks her nose, an ominous reenactment of the Sphinx in Egypt. Time is of the essence. All drugs and alcohol must be consumed before Justin Bieber arrives. Justin Timberlake in the corner looks nervous. Kim Kardashian has already started mud wrestling Kate Upton. Danny DeVito is there wearing a referee's shirt screaming, "Break the hold! Use your breath! Plow that bitch!" Only the finest labels are present at the Cansecco Cavalcade. Armani, Prada, Tom Ford. Vanilla Ice tries to enter wearing boutique outlet Ross wear and is ejected. Meanwhile, the Cansecos have peaked a nightmare concoction of acid, mescaline, cocaine, Adderall, and a synthetic drug made in a government lab called 2X45. A dragon erupts from the ground and begins breathing fire on the crowd, but no one catches fire. Instead, their countenances shift, and the dragon begins humping the red, white, and blue cake that Buddy Valestro had special ordered. The Cansecos can't hang. They start thralling, thrashing, beating their guests to a pulp. Bieber finally arrives and is met with a blow from a stripper's leg, ripped off in the vicious frenzy. Christ, I forgot about the PCP. Blood rains from the ceiling to match the mood. Tom Ford hides under the corpses of his older contemporaries, shivering, blind to the scene. Only the audible thuds and thumps remind him not to make a sound. Police storm on the scene, but the twins are in full bloodlust. They've peeled the flesh off Serena Williams, using her bones as rapiers and shields, taking bullets like candy, laughing wildly and yelling, "Vamos, hermano! Somos más que estos humanos!" At once, a sprint for the exit commences, plowing through the riot shields, mace and lead. The air is sweet like electric eclairs. Lucidity becomes them, and all they hear is the bang from the snipers' rifles across the street. Two shooters, Jackson and Pollock, codenames. True artists with their weapons always leaving a painting on the wall worthy of expressionism. Happy birthday, Kensicos. Pink mist falls gently like fall-time leaves as the sun crests over a red horizon.
Very good. Jesus Christ, now I'm glad I only gave you a day to write that. <That's>... Tyler, on this date, 1978, Nelly Furtado, Canadian singer, songwriter, producer, and actress, was born. Here's something else that happened on this date. 1974, cowhide, rather than just horsehide, began to be used to make baseballs. How about these things in regard to celebration? Nelly Furtado and baseballs.
Can you believe she's 37? It seems like just yesterday she was a fresh-faced kid threatening that she's a bird and right. She's going to fly away.
She never flew away.
She never did. She's still here. She's still like a bird. She's bird-like in the face. Just like a little.
Yeah, a little bit.
Also, I didn't realize that this is they knew the exact anniversary they stopped using horsehide. Like, they marked it on their calendar?
They're like, we're done.
Like, why was it so sudden? Was there a public outcry? Or was it just one day a guy in a tannery says to his boss, "Hey, boss, we have piles of dead cows." Piles and piles of dead cows. But yet we keep killing these beautiful ponies for the baseballs. And the ponies always look at me in the eye like they know my soul better than I ever will. And then I just have to hit them in the head with the killing hammer. So I had this idea. Maybe we could use some of the cowhides that are literally rotting behind this tannery to make the baseballs. You know, just so that the last of my soul doesn't wither away and I have to walk the earth unable to atone for my slaughters, praying for death. What do you say, boss? Maybe if I don't kill another pony, I can look at my daughter in the eye again. Also, cowhide is cheaper than horsehide. So I guess it's the anniversary of that conversation.
Yeah, okay. Right. Very good, Tyler Kenny. Tyler Kenny.
Stab needs $20 until Thursday. Stab's good for it.
Jesse Jones.
Yeah.
Gonna clear my throat.
Sure.
On this date, 1982, Lolo Jones, American hurdler, was born. Guess what else?
Oh, wow.
Also on this date, 1305, William Wallace. Come on, everyone, shed a tear. William Wallace, who led the Scottish resistance against England, is captured by the English, Longshanks, near Glasgow, and transported to London, where he was put to trial and executed. Mm-hmm. Holy shit about these things. Eh?
Yeah. Well, naturally, when thinking about William Wallace, it's impossible for me not to think of Mel Gibson's portrayal in 1995's Braveheart. And when thinking about Mel Gibson, it's impossible for me to not think of his drunken 2006 traffic stop tirade, in which he famously proclaimed that the Jews were responsible for all the wars in the world. By the way, you're not a Jew, are you, John?
I actually am a Russian Jew.
Is that Orthodox?
I don't know.
I'm going to let that slide. So when taking the birthday of hurdler Lolo Jones and Mel Gibson's career ruination together, I naturally set out to clear the bar set by Mr. Gibson in terms of career suicide. So it was with that in goal in mind that I sat down this afternoon to come up with a list of inflammatory claims, which I will now lay against a selection of racial and ethnic groups in the hopes of having them used against me someday to ruin my career I might ever put together.
Yet again.
They are as follows, in no particular order of severity. Mexicans are gentle, attentive lovers.
It's true.
The gays are responsible for all of the cotton candy in the world. Black people make rainbows and release them into the sky after storms. Every time an Asian is born, a kitten is too. And women make me sick. 'Cause I'm allergic to awesome. I'm sorry if this has detrimentally affected the way you will now forever see me. But I hope maybe someday you'll be able to accept these truths into your heart as I have. Thank you.
Very good. This was... That was Today Once.
Stab rolled its charger into a ditch.
JoJo Lewis.
Uh-huh.
On this day, 1969, Apollo program, Apollo 11, the first mission and to land astronauts on the moon, is launched from the Kennedy Space Center in Cape Canaveral, Florida. Actually, Cape Kennedy, Florida. I apologize. So tell me, how did you rejoice on this occasion today?
The moon landing was fake. So really, this is the... to honor this day is to honor the first day of principal photography on a shitty indie movie, which is not worth celebrating. However... I did, in honor of the fact that it was the first day of that, I decided to go to Barnes & Noble and look up all my other favorite conspiracy theories, or as I call them, truth. Here we go. Put on my favorite foil hat and just went on down. Here we go. One, I remembered that Bigfoot is real and that he lives in Kansas City where he works at a gay porno theater and he is a bottom. I also looked up how the Loch Ness Monster is really three diabetic children stuffed into about 10 feet of nylon stockings and then left in a kiddie pool in East Lansing, Michigan. You know what chemtrails are, right? The streaks behind airplanes? That's actually Diet Sierra Mist, which... really harsh on your insides and results in sky diarrhea, which that's why hurricanes. Kennedy was assassinated by a magic bullet created in the fiery pit of Crag Zolthor and enchanted with powerful death magic before being sent into the ether. There's so much more. TWA Flight 800 did not crash, but is a testing plane for a powerful infinite hydrogen super engine and is still flying today and is powered by the suffering of people on the plane who are not allowed to pee, ever. The Twin Towers are still standing, and a quick Google image search will confirm that the government owns Google, which is why they appear to not be there. And how many people have really gone to ground zero, honestly? If you say you've been there, you're fucking in on it. Now I think would be a perfect time to talk about my e-zine on all this, on these and other things. Available for $25 a month. If you talk to me after the show, you can get it for the special price of $25 a month. So happy July 16th, or as I call it, the day the moon landing started being faked. P.S. Wake up, sheeple.
JoJo Lewis. Tavi. I'm sorry to yell. On this date, 1908, Puyi becomes emperor of China at the age of 2. Is that how you pronounce that? I don't know. P-U-Y-I. Puyi becomes emperor of China at the age of 2. Also on this very date, 1981, Britney Spears, American singer, songwriter, dancer, and actress, was born. How did you choose to celebrate these events today?
So first of all, I want to say that this is like a special day for me in general. I have been personally celebrating Britney Spears' birthday since her meltdown in 2008. Every year she sees is a blessing. So this is a really important day for me. So I did what I usually do. Okay. I borrowed 34 Chinese children, age 2. Mm-hmm. Okay, we watched Crossroads. Okay, and listened to Britney Spears' greatest hits. You know, Oops, I Did It Again, Hit Me Baby One More Time. Then discuss some foreign policy.
Okay.
Okay. Per usual, the gods from heaven opened up and plucked one of my new 34 best friends and said that they were to be a supreme ruler of everything. Mm. Okay. I pledged myself to the dynasty, and we had some cake.
Very good, Tavi. That sounds like an eventful day. Very good.
Stab. Did 2 include that cover letter?
Evan Maserati. On this Thank date you. In 1184 BC, it was the traditional date assigned to the fall of Troy. So, this date in 1184, Troy fell. Guess what else? Also on this date, 1967, cosmonaut Vladimir Komarov. I prepared just as much as John does. Vladimir Komarov dies in Soyuz 1. God damn me. Soyuz 1. When its parachute fails to open, he is the first human to die during a space mission. Fall of Troy. Russian cosmonaut dies same day, only several hundred years apart.
It's a conspiracy.
So what did you do to celebrate these two things?
I like the show because I learned things. Okay, well, as we all know, Fall of Troy is a post-hardcore math rock band from northwestern Washington. Not Seattle, but Mulcateo of legend. Fall of Troy consists of Thomas Erek, guitars, vocals, keyboard, Andrew Forsman, drums, and Tim Ward, bass and screamed vocals. The band was active from 2002 to 2010 when the band briefly broke up. This was known as the fall of the Fall of Troy. A dark day for Western civilization indeed. Where would the people of the more inland Pacific Northwest go for intricate time signatures and screamo lyrics? This would not stand. Thus, Athena, Greek goddess of wisdom, took it upon herself to intercede on our mortal behalves. She spoke to Tim Ward, who was living in Idaho then, and said, "Stop making shitty music in Idaho and get the band back together." Ward did thus. She then went to Forsman, who was in some dive bar local band, and said, "Come on, man, you used to tour." Forsman packed up his drums and went with the two. Next, the three went to Eric's house, and when he saw that he was pretty much outvoted, they put the band back together, and thus the West was saved. As for the astronaut thing, I celebrated that by making sure to cancel my skydiving tickets.
Evan Irani, everybody. Maserati. Thank
you. Stab is a beefy thorax.
Bill, on this date, 1995, Johnny Moss, American poker player, died. Also on this very date, 1966, Jimi Hendrix Experience releases its first single, Hey Joe, in the UK. How did you celebrate these events in tandem?
Well.
High energy. Good high energy start.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep it up. my dick.
Oh, yep. There you go.
Okay. To commemorate the late poker player Johnny Moss, I decided to invite a few friends over for a game of poker. And, to celebrate the anniversary of Hey Joe, I cranked up the heat in my house to about 110 degrees during the game and lined the sweatband on my forehead with about 10 doses of LSD. You know, hoping that my altered state would somehow give me the upper hand in the game. About 45 minutes into the game, the jacks, kings, and queens seemed to begin mocking me from the cards in my suddenly green and scaly hands. The table shakes like jello and my heart quivers in a similar fashion. I had to get out of there. However, no longer being able to feel my extremities, my escape plan was reduced to no more than my pale, sweaty body meeting the floor with an ear-shattering thud after a fall that seemed to last 1,000 eternities. My friends exchanged gasps around the table, and I hear a distorted voice exclaim, "Somebody call 911. But before he could finish his sentence, a single hand raised up from the spot where I had previously been sitting. Cards still clenched in its grip. It opens. The cards fall face up, one by one. 2, 6, 2, 2, 2. My friends sit back down slowly as color rushes back to my now grinning face. Victory never tasted so sweet. I want to make out with Jason.
Very good. Very good. Four of a kind. Jason is here tonight. Jason.
Jesse Jones. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to move right along.
Sure.
No responses.
That's right.
On this date, 1959, Bozo the Clown. Live children's show premiere on TV, on the television. Also on this very date, 1998, Sonny Bono, American singer and songwriter, producer, actor, and politician, died by tree. He crashed into a tree. How did you celebrate Bozo and Bono?
Well, John, so, yo, I'm going to let you know how I celebrated America's clown, Bozo. And Cher's clown, Sonny Bono, not to be confused with U2's Bono. Oh, no. That's a no-no. To do so on Cinco de Mayo, I shared a cup of Froyo with my main bros. 3-time gold medalist Florence Griffith Joyner, or Flojo. Tiny Bubbles singer Don Ho. Beloved crooner Perry Como. And Beatles wife Yoko Ono.
Jesse.
No, there
Perry Como album right here. Awesome.
Flojo usually drinks Mellow Yellow. While Yoko had Coco. And Como had a snow cone.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Oh, no. We all laugh and joke, oh, what a time we had, as we watch YouTube video shot in slow-mo on a GoPro in Rio de Janeiro of a bonobo with a yo-yo giving a low blow to some slow schmo with no mojo and a t-shirt from the Whiskey a Go-Go. To a soundtrack comprised of a mashup of Porno for Pyros and Casey and JoJo. And so now you know how me, Flojo, Don Ho, Perry Como, Yoko Ono, Tony Romo, Midnight Cowboys, Ratso Rizzo, Gnarls Barkley, CeeLo, and some random hobo celebrated Bozo and Sonny Bono. And it didn't cost you nothing. It was quid pro quo. And there you go. Just like that. Presto change-o. You're no longer not in the know. And knowing is, of course, half the battle, yo-jo.
Very good. Jesse Jones.
Stab bought the goddamn popsicles.
Jacqueline Wyan, congratulations again on your appearance here at the show. Today is World Humanitarian Day. I don't know if you knew that, guys. I don't know if you knew that. Guess what else? On this very date, 295 BC, the first temple to Venus, the Roman goddess of love, beauty, and fertility, is dedicated by Quintus Fabius Maximus G-U-R-G-E-S.
Gerges.
Gergles? Gergles? Gerges? Gerges? During the Third Samnite War. How about that, huh?
Yeah, okay. Well, celebrating this was super tough because I already look at every morning as a small celebration to the Roman goddess Venus. Like, I'll run you by my morning. Like, I wake up and the first thing I do is be pretty. just really, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Ethereal. Real ethereal. So after that, I usually gently wake up the sleeping sexual partner I had met and selected the night before by by rubbing his back and softly whispering, "I am very fertile and I love you." The rest of the day is mostly spent finding another potential partner to fill me with his seed. So what could I possibly do differently on this special day? But then, to my excitement, I found out that it was also World Humanitarian Day, and I knew exactly what to do. I could make my routine a little more humane. So this morning I woke up like usual with my conventionally attractive face and wide hips, capable of bringing forth many healthy children. Woke up the previous night's partner, called him an Uber, went to work, came home, and when I went out to slut it up like my homegirl Venus would want, I remembered this day's significance and brought home an ugly guy. Okay, no, you probably think I'm shallow because you're probably picturing like an average-looking guy with like a lazy eye or like two lazy eyes. And you'd be right. I didn't like it.
All right. Very likable, Jacqueline. That person.
Stab is a briefcase full of lunch meat.
Josh.
Yeah.
On this date, 1807, the grand jury indicts former Vice President of the United States Aaron Burr on a charge of treason. Shake
Most
your fist. You know what else? On this very date, 1990, Microsoft releases the Windows 3.0 operating system. How'd you go about celebrating these events?
Well, my exciting day started off by dusting off my parents' old Gateway computer. they bought at the Price Costco in the middle of the Price Club Costco merger and embarked on my journey of antiquated operating systems and high treason. Because the Windows 3 operating system came out when I was in elementary school, I decided that I would celebrate Aaron Burr's obscure historical event the same way we always did back then, by writing a one-page essay about it. First stop, Microsoft Encarta. Encarta, the digital encyclopedia that came packaged with our computer that has all the information you could jam onto one CD-ROM. With no internet connection necessary. But Encarta was fraught with temptation around every corner. Articles with low-resolution clips of classic films, animations showing how physics works, 30-second clips of famous classical songs. Aaron Burr was going to have to wait. And what's that over there? Mind Maze? An actual game within Encarta? Coming from a family that did not have video games in the house, playing Mind Maze would be the ultimate rebellion. Little did my parents know that their only child was being corrupted by a game that requires you to answer trivia questions on subjects that could be found within Encarta articles in order to get through a rudimentary maze. Mind Maze was the gateway drug to future Windows 3 edutainment fixes like Math Blaster and Mavis Beacon Teaches Typing.
Yes.
Well, after a few hours passed and that last maze had been solved, I realized I did not have a single word written about for my Aaron Burr essay. It was getting late, and I needed to have my page written before my parents got home. I quickly found the Encarta article on Burr and pasted it wholesale into Creative Writer, the Windows 3 word processor for kids that came prepackaged with my computer. There I was greeted by McZ, a blue-skinned alien from the land of Imaginopolis that was created by Microsoft to host its children's software in the early 90s. McZ was often my sole after-school companion who would guide me through the wacky world of word processing. But we were in trouble. My copied text only took up about a half a page, but McZ came to the rescue and told me how to increase font size and put extra spaces between text. Now I had that full page, and no one was the wiser. And while I can't say I learned anything about Aaron Burr, I rekindled my relationship with my best friend, McZ, a friendship that I knew would last a lifetime.
Josh Kincaid. Very good, sir. Rhoda, on this date, 1964, Jeopardy! Which Jeopardy also has an exclamation, just like our show. Jeopardy, hosted by Art Fleming, debuts 1964. Also on this very date, 1962, MC Hammer, American rapper and actor, is born. How did you celebrate these events combined?
Well, to celebrate this day, I grew up my best old school Trebek mustache. It only took me 8 hours. I threw on my brightest pair of parachute pants and I headed out to the club. But while dancing the running man, my rat tail whipping to and fro, I couldn't help but feel my contribution to this day was lacking. So I spent every single cent that I had left to buy my crew drinks at the bar. I rushed home to compose an opus dedicated to these two monumental occasions. It goes like this. Yes. Hopefully I don't mess it up. My, Fleming was the first one to hold cars, but Trebek was the man who became the star. Nerd Questions on a big blue screen makes people look smart if you're into that thing, Brad Rutter. Won the most all around, ain't a Vanna White bitch in a ratchet ball gown, and that's known as a 1-2 punch, and this is what is today once.
Very good. Oh my God. Yes, that deserves more.
Thank you.
Very good.
Stab is not orange.
John Gamora, J-O-N, not to be confused for J-O-H-N, John Gamora. On this date, 1631, Mary, Princess Royal and Princess of Orange, was born. She was princessing all over. You know what else happened on this very date? In 1952, the United States government establishes the National Security Agency, or NSA for short. Mm-hmm. How about tease things? So I spelt it.
First of all, while I might appear to be a liberal socialist pansy, I'm still a red-blooded American with an insatiable taste for red meat, big knockers, and freedom.
Okay.
Okay. And while this is my sixth appearance on this show, and I think every single time I've had to talk about the British monarchy, I have been assigned to talk about the British monarchy.
I don't know why.
Six times. And I think it's your patriarchy. You know, I think it's like it's tangible. I can feel it. Because, you know, I believe with an intense fervor that, like, my greatest accomplishment is the separation from the motherland, you know, that monarchy, you know, moving out on my own, you know, being an individual, you know, fuck mom. I don't need anything from her. I'm fine. You know, sure. I mean, I'm still on her phone plan. But that's like, you know, it's just like we're in the family plan. So if we were to separate, it would be more expensive for both of us.
Right.
I need, like, you know, she's toxic for my life. All she does is complain about my weight and say that I'll never find a man. But, you know, whatever. So in honor of the NSA, I wrote this. Snowden, the most sacred iconoclast in American history, grueling in a quaint kitchenette in his small Russian domicile. He'd hope he'd have the vegan pierogi ready in time. His years in Russia have attuned him to the food. and his special visitor certainly loved the cuisine. Just then, the door creaked open. Every time the creak makes Edward jolt a little bit, like Anne Frank in Nazi Germany. Maybe today's the day he's found, but not today. He knew the only person that can emerge the hallway into his one-bedroom Soviet-era oasis is his true love, Bernie. His Bernie Wernie, his Sandman. Edward was in the kitchen, but he was feeling a whole different type of burn. Bernie rounded the bend in his usual slump, perhaps more intense since the campaign trail's grueling world takes its toll on the 74-year-old man. Bernie, Edward gasped and threw his arms around him, wrapping his frail stud in his arms. Full-bodied embrace. How was your flight?
Good,
he gargled. In his rough voice that made Edward's knees weak. Glad I could
get away. I'm hot on Hill's ass in the race.
I know, Edward gushed, his voice noticeably more breathy than usual. It was this breath that Edward and Bernie slipped into a passionate kiss. The 74-year-old slouch seemed to straighten out upon this embrace. Edward ripped off Bernie's Sears buttons-up shirt in one go, unveiling the dangles that is Bernie's socialist body. It was then that Bernie noted all Edward Snowden was wearing was a lacy apron. Something a pinup model would wear. Not as well as Edward, Bernie thought. He pulled back a string on the satin ribbons that fell limp around Snowden's round, plump rear. Just because Bernie can't carry his love through the threshold doesn't make it any less romantic. As they kissed, they twirled like Russian ballerinas until they burst through the door to his boudoir. Edward planted his comrade, flush on the bed, ready to make him feel real LGBTQIA equality. Snowden kissed down Bernie's bare chest, his patchy beard scraggly brushing against Bernie Sanders' almost translucent chest. He immigrated from his chest to his stomach to his pelvis with relative ease due to his fair and humane immigration policies. Bernie's member was fair. It showed what a peaceful penis can look like. War is not the answer. Every time Snowden performed fellatio on Bernie Sanders.
Jesus Christ.
Edward thinks about the living wage that Bernie promises his people and how his heart pumps the blood into his throbbing cock of justice.
Wow.
Then Bernie's hands wrapped around Snowden's snowy pale face and detached him from his cock and pulled Edward up towards his face and kissed him again and again. Edward then rolled graciously onto his stomach, ready to feel the burn.
Oh my God.
Bernie slid himself into Snowden. Since it's been a while since he was last inside Edward, he was tight, like trying to get your dick into something really tight, like a balloon. As the tip of his dick punctured the inner sphincter of Edward Snowden, Edward let out an involuntary, which Bernie replied, "Oh yeah, you learned the cock," in his never. Bernie never lasted more than a few pumps before he pulled out his penis and quickly came to fruition on Snowden's back, or what Bernie calls it, Snowden on Snowden. After. I was
asked about you.
Bernie smoldered. So I saw Why Don't I Care About Edward Snowden by Bernie Sanders.
Oh, come on, Snowy.
I know you just have to put on a show until you can dismantle the NSA.
And I'll do it for you,
Bernie said.
I love you, Snowy.
I love you too, Bernie. Thank you.
Very good, John Gamora.
I don't think I did mine right. There was I don't think I knew how to do that like that. That was good.
That was
epic. It's an epic love story.
It's hot. Tyler Kenny.
Hi, John.
On this date, 1969, Marilyn Manson, American singer, songwriter, actor, and director, was born. Also on this very date, 1896, German physicist Wilhelm Roentgen discovers X-rays. How about these things in regards to the celebration?
So I called Marilyn Manson, actually.
You did?
Yeah. He happens to be a good friend of mine.
Wow.
And also the primary reason for the Columbine shooting. He owns it. We went to summer camp together, actually. We used to shower with our swim trunks on together. Even then, there was rumors that he could suck his own dick.
Wow.
So I called him on his birthday, as I always do, and I said, "Happy birthday, Brian," which is his real name. "You pasty-ass, husky, dog-eyed motherfucker. Go to the window." He went, "What?" And I was like, "Bro, just go to the window." And he looks out, and that's when the dwarves I hired to light a flaming upside-down cross in his front yard set it off. They were dressed like goat men. He was so touched. He said it was the nicest thing that anyone had ever done for him. And I heard his voice quiver a little bit. And that's when I knew I had him. So I seized the opportunity and I said, "Hey, Bri, hey, B-Rain. B-Man. Bri. Is there any truth to the rumor that you had ribs removed so that you could suck your own dick?" And he said, "Well, Tyler, you know I am responsible for the Columbine mass shooting. Short of doing it myself, the blame for that lies squarely at my feet. I say it's cool, man. Water under the bridge. Life is a journey. Fuck it." He said, "Well, you know me best, and that's why I love you. I can't stand here looking at an upside-down burning cross and tell you a lie." And that's when he said, "Hold on a sec." And then I realized he had sent me a picture. And there it was. My childhood best friend. The reason for Columbine. Brian Hugh Warner's rib cage was intact. It was an X-ray photograph, but it was like in an unnatural pose. And I was like, "Wait, but this means..." And he goes, "Yeah, that's right. Even with all my ribs, I can still suck my own dick." And I said, "Hail Satan."
Very good, Tyler Kenny. Very good. Yeah, you clap for him if you want. Sure. Or not. Or stop, as I suggested, even further.
Stab is a goddamn shame.
Jesse Jones, on this date, 1905, Prince Carl of Denmark becomes King Hakon VII of Norway. Also on this date, 1984, Johnny Christ, American bass player of Avenged Sevenfold, was born. How about it?
I'm sorry, John. Were you addressing me? For you see, I no longer answer to the name which once tied me to the common people, such as yourself. Gone is stab panelist and all-around ruggedly handsome bearded man of hilarity, Jesse Jones. Replaced by the dashingly sophisticated and jauntily mustachioed ruler of all things, witty and jocular, High Emperor Groucho II, unquestioned lord of all Stabdonia. That which follows are the decree of High Emperor Groucho II, and will henceforth be held as the laws of the land of Stabdonia, which exists from 8 p.m. to approximately 9:45 every first and third Wednesday of the month at Luna's Cafe in Sacramento, every first Tuesday of the month at Lost Weekend Video in San Francisco. Luna's Cafe and Lost Weekend Video. Buy a smoothie, rent a movie. Why not? Would it kill you? Decree the first! All citizens of Stabdonia shall express their appreciation for the evening's festivities not in thank yous or post-show compliments, but in Stabdonia's new sole form of currency, which from here forward shall be fellatio! Or, in the occasional case of lady guests...
Thank you.
Inverse fellatio!
Inverse fellatio.
Degree the second! New metal is barred from the land, you're welcome! Decree the third! Thursdays are ice cream Thursdays! On any Thursday that a stab show may fall, bring a knife and a clean stab themed dish to the show to receive ice cream. Stab ice cream may only be eaten with a knife. Decree the fourth! In order to avoid any possible future confusion, cases where resolution is not already clearly outlined and compensation is at all in question, defer to decree the first! High Emperor Groucho II has spoken and looks forward to receiving your appreciations after the show.
Stab still misses your mom. Till this day.
And that was This Was Today Once Best Of's Stab episode 92, in case you're counting. Hey, thank you guys for listening. You know, if you want to go to Stitcher, you can listen to us there as well. iTunes, go there, check it out. SoundCloud, I think we're on there. Are we on SoundCloud? So yeah, again, remember, we're going to be here October 19th at Luna's Cafe doing another live recording of Stab. So thanks again. And thanks for being a part of Stab Awareness Month. All right.